Father, we thank you for the beauty of your word that's coming forth to your people. We thank you because your anointing is already present. Our ears are opened. Our hearts are enlightened. We are able to receive the full power in this word tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Now, I read a number of portions of the scriptures. Let's read the first one from the book of Psalms, and all of them from the book of Psalms. But the one I want to start with is from the book of Psalms, number 126. Psalm 126. I'm going to read a lot. I may just jump into a next psalm. So if you see me continue to read, probably the next psalm I've already gone into. And so when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, were like those who dream. That was showing us the surprise and the impact of the great deliverance that God wrought, what he had in their lives. That is, they were not expecting that at that particular point in time. He now said, then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was filled with joyful shouting. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And then this is the issue, verse 3, the Lord has indeed done great things for us, and that's why we are glad. I'm adding a few words just to emphasize stuff. In our said, verse 4, restore our captivity, O Lord. Now, I believe here we are looking at a particular principle that led to the things that were in verses 1, 2, and 3. As the streams renew the desert, that's what the New Living Translation says. All right? Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams renew the desert. Now, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Please, there's a reason why I read that, and if you've not listened to our series, Sowing in Tears, that message, Sowing in Tears, in our series, Spiritual Economics, I would like you to get that series and listen to it. Now, please just read the next verse. It said, unless the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain who builds it. I'll come back to explain these things. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Please, that translation is very important to you, for you to note. I'm using the New American Standard here. It said, the Lord gives to his beloved even in his sleep. I like the way Good News Bible, the Today's English Version, puts it. It said, the Lord gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. That's very crucial for us to bear in mind. A lot of people just read the simple one. The Lord gives to his beloved sleep. That is, God makes you able to sleep. It's true, because David said somewhere else, in peace will I lay me down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. I believe that. But what he was saying in Psalm 127 was not talking about the ability to sleep. He was saying that even while you are sleeping, God is still adding to you as his beloved. Now, please note those scriptures and quickly open to Psalm 131, then I'll tell you what we want to talk about. In fact, I'm going to start reading from Psalm 130. I'll start from verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. That is, in his promises. And we have explained that that's what Christians used to get results. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchmen for the morning. O Israel, that is the people of God, hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord means to have your expectation in the Lord. For with the Lord there is loving kindness, that is forgiveness of sins, and with him is abundant redemption. That is, when you have bound yourself, there's ability of him to in him to deliver you from the bondage that you have put yourself into. He said, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So you see, he's talking about loving kindness, redemption, and iniquities. You know, we started talking about faith basics. I will go on in that on Saturday. But just please notice this in here. He said, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait. And it was now encouraging the people of God to hope or have their expectation in the Lord. The reason why you wait is because your expectation is in him. Please note that. He now said, O Lord, my heart is not proud. That's the next verse, Psalm 131. Nor my eyes haughty. This is the main thing I want to read today. Nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Please, I need to read that line again, that verse. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty. Nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a wind child rests against his mother, my soul is like a wind child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Now, some time ago, I taught a message which I titled Waiting for God, How to Wait for God. This is going to be like a continuation, though I don't know exactly what I said in that message anymore, but I know the kind of things I believe concerning waiting for God. So it's possible I might repeat myself to a large extent, all right, in this message concerning what I preached then, but it's still important that we listen to this one and that one, because I believe that there are certain things I'm going to add today which that one doesn't have. But please try and listen to that particular message, How to Wait for God. I know something that must have been in my main thrust of teaching in that particular one. There are some things that characterize those who are waiting for God, and I want to explain it again today and add something to it. Now, let me start again by saying this. The life of the believer in Christ Jesus is not average. Do you hear what I said? The life of the believer in Christ Jesus is not a normal life from what the world calls normal. All right? We live by promises. Seeing that we have these promises, Paul said, what's dictating where we are going in life, how long we will live in life, what we'll experience, are the promises of God. Are you getting my point? Now, when I say that, what I mean is this. It's in opposition to what we have been born into. It's in opposition to what time we're born in. I'm not talking about the degrees we have been able to acquire in life. What dictates where you are going in life as a Christian is the promises of God. I said that life has fears, all right? Now, those who move by the normal fears of life are the ones that feel like, look, except I have this kind of degree or I have this kind of money, I can never go far in life. Except I have this kind of background with me, I can't go far in life. That's a particular sphere. Like I said all the time, you know, before, I used to argue with people a lot. Now, let's talk about the nation, all right? You said that, this can never happen in this country. And I say, yes, it can. Now, after a while, I stopped arguing because I realized that they were right in what they were saying, all right? And therefore, I could never persuade them. And I was right in what I was saying, and they could never persuade me. What do I mean by right? Using the calculation method they were using, they were right. Are you getting my point? They have observed the things that happened in previous times. And I was never, as God is my witness, I wasn't using the things that happened in previous times to dictate where the country was going or where my life was going. I was speaking according to my understanding of the promises of God, and that if we pray, God will release his power. And since we have prayed, we have a right to expect something. Therefore, we began to argue. And therefore, you see, we could never see eye to eye. Because what they are basing their hope upon is different from what I'm basing my hope upon. You know, I was telling Namdi there's something the other time that you said, when you applied in Lagos and you succeeded, your colleagues say, we should have gone. And that is a mistake. People will say, because this person succeeded there, we too should have gone. And I said something to you that, you see, that's a mistake they are making. They think that you were lucky. Are you getting my point? That what got you the position was the boldness with which you attacked it. And I said, the boldest people on the earth are fools. Don't ever forget that. So boldness is not what gets you your inheritance. You must have an inheritance for you to boldly take it. I hope you're getting my point. If you don't have an inheritance, boldness only leads you to destruction. That's why the Englishman said the boldest of human beings are fools. So he said, even where angels are afraid to enter, fools will rush into the place. So it's not boldness. Do you get what I'm saying? And that was a mistake that the Egyptians made. When the children of Israel entered into the divided waters, they suddenly looked and said, it must be easy to pass through water that's already divided. They did not understand that what was keeping them was different from just what eyes could see. The normal eyes saw that, look at water has been divided. But as a matter of fact, if you're not a blessed man, you've heard me say it several times, be careful when you're following a blessed man. A blessed man is blessed, therefore things seem to work for him. You now use a pattern of his life to try and operate, and you enter into into trouble. You enter into serious disaster. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. That is, what I want to explain there. It is not as if I am bold, that's why I got it. No, it's because there is a power working with me. Are you getting my point? And when that power prepared something, it now says, step into it, and then I stepped into it. That is what the life of the Christian is. It doesn't always follow the natural pattern, all right? But you see, to the believer, he understands that God has a plan, God has a will for his life, and that's where he's stepping into. Please, do you get my point? So that's why I stop arguing with people. So they say, you don't understand. This will happen, this will happen, this will happen. I say, no, it's not going to happen like that. And the issue is that they couldn't understand the blindness I was operating. And for a long time, I didn't understand what was wrong with them. Can't you see what I'm seeing? But now I've understood. No, you know, I've said it to you several times, that when David was going to kill Goliath, he knew how he was going to kill Goliath. So he couldn't understand why people couldn't understand that he could kill Goliath. But he could see something, they couldn't see it. Please, I want to emphasize that to us again. Your life is not average. You're not going to get to where you will get to in life because of the past things of your life. That operates with a particular sphere. But we are operating a sphere from which is released what the Bible calls the power of his resurrection. That's what the Bible calls the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. All right? Which makes nonsense of the predictions of man. Please, are we clear? It's very crucial. So when you are making your predictions, don't reason. All right? That's what the Bible calls soothsaying like the Philistines. Are you getting my point? And that's why God said, I'm the one that confounds the prophecies of the wise or the predictions of the wise. What do I mean by soothsaying like the Philistines? Don't ever think your life is going to work out the way people predict based on things that they can see. Let me summarize everything I've said so far in one line. Expect a miracle. Did you hear what I said? That's what I mean. Though this plenty English I have spoken. That's why it's good to have prophets once in a while who just shout, the Lord said I should tell you, expect a miracle and go home. People like me talk too much sometimes. Alright? But I hope you are getting my point. I just want you to understand that. But it's not just, you see, that's one thing I don't like sometimes. When I think we ministers who don't tell people the truth. You just shout to the whole world, this year shall be good. Listen to me, most people hear you, this year shall be bad. What makes it good is not because good is natural, but because there is a power of life working in those that believe. Are you getting what I've said so far? All right? Now, why do we read this? No, I wanted to lay that foundation, then we'll now discuss what I want to say. Because if I don't say that, people are going to really get confused. Let me digress again. That's why people argue with believers. They don't know the premise that we are working from. Sometimes I look at my life as a person, and I'm going to share some of those things with us today just to encourage our hearts, all right? This new year, as we step into different seasons in our lives. What I want to teach you today actually has to do with that waiting for God thing. And I keep on saying it, the most difficult thing for people to do is to wait for God. Do you follow my point? That's why I said everything I said. For you to understand, your life is not average. All right? And God indeed has a plan for your life. And what he's asking you for is to wait for him. Are you getting my point? How to wait for God? I preached in that message and I explained that this is what God is doing. This is what God is saying. Each time in your life, life has seasons, all right? And each season, God gives you an assignment. Waiting for God is not to lie down on the bed and not do anything. Waiting for God is to locate the assignment for the day and do that without worrying about what tomorrow will be like. Are you getting my point? Let me give an example. This is a very, very stupid example, but it's a true example. Assuming that you're a vulcanizer, you know what they call vulcanizer? You know what they call that in Nigeria? And then somebody preaches a message to you and says to you that God is taking you to a great place and you are going to begin to manufacture tires, not repair them. When you tell that to a young man who didn't do anything more than primary school, who's walking by the roadside, is a very stupid thing to say if you want to use natural projections. This is the mistake Christians make. They think that once the boy hears that word, he should tell his father or his brother, say, boys, I hereby leave you repairing tires. I am going to manufacture tire. You know what's going to happen to him? He will fail so thoroughly, he will look back and look at that prophet and say, who was that stupid prophet that came to deceive me that day? What he didn't understand that God brought that word of encouragement to him to tell him, patch tires well. Don't leave your brothers or your father here in this business until the time I will come to take you away. I don't know whether you heard what I said. You didn't get me? Okay, let me go over it again. That the mistake people make a lot of times is that when God gives them, when a word of prophecy comes, all right, two different methods. And this is very crucial, we appreciate this. We immediately start taking steps to get away from that place into the place of fulfillment. I don't know whether I follow my point. But that's not what God is saying. God is saying simply, now that I have given you the word, return to what you were doing. Accept the word implied an immediate movement. if it's just a word, I'll give a very practical example that we're reading from the scriptures. David. The prophet Samuel came, took David and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And next day, what did David do? He went back to where? The midst of the sheep. He didn't say, "Now I am the king. Popsy, find somebody else to mind your sheep." You know, say, levels don't change. You know the way we say it. I am no longer, no. Actually, what that word meant is that David, when people come and say, opportunities have opened in Egypt, don't go. That's what that word meant. When people come and say, David, oh boy, we have found a way to break through in life. We'll leave here and go to Ethiopia and begin to trade. Say, don't go. Now, Paul said it like this, abide in that calling in which the promise met you. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to explain. I said life has seasons. And I always try to encourage people. Number one, there are general seasons of life, and then there are individual applications of those seasons. If you are in school, the primary job for that season is what? Study. Are you getting my point? If you are employed somewhere, the primary job for that season is be diligent in your employment. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, this is where the issue is. The world, people of the world always have strategies for exiting their current positions and running to another position. Are you getting my point? Now, the sign of faith in the believer is that he's not in a hurry to join other people. He said, those that believe will not make haste. Let me give you one general advice. If somebody says, hurry, hurry, the opportunity is about to close, forget it. No, it's one thing I have found to be true in life. Once people put you into panic, now I'm not saying you should be unnecessarily slow. Are you getting my point? But when people put you into panic, you're walking today, say, quickly, get 200,000 naira, and then by next week, you will get a visa, you can travel and go and do this business. As of today, if they shake you up and down, all right? Maybe 2 naira 50 kobo will drop. Somebody now says, get 200,000 naira between now and Monday, you will, if it's banking, all right? And I know I don't immediately have an easy way of getting 200,000. I will tell you simply, opportunity that comes and goes away is not my own. If that door closes by next week, then it was never mine. He said, this guy, you are too slack. I said, there's a reason why a man is slack. He said, he that believes does not make haste. He said, what? I said, listen, if God wants me to go, he had better find a way to channel 200K down this zone between now and next week. But this guy is not going to break his head. A man came to me the other day asking for counsel. I told him simply, business opens. He needs money to start. They're supposed to give him some money to start. They have not yet given. But he said, just go ahead, do it. We'll pay you when you finish. I said, oh boy, right now you are not owing anybody. You can sleep in peace. I said, when you start owing, you will know what they call insomnia in medicine. That's when witches start pressing you at night. It is not witches. It is people you are owing. I said simply, if they won't release, don't start. That's my counsel. What's my reason? I said, he that believes does not make haste. They may give the job to somebody else. They should go ahead. I'm not the only one that God wants to bless. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. We must never let people pressure us. This is the point I'm trying to bring out here. God, I started by saying that your life is special and you are not an accident. I need to add on to it. You're not going to get promotion in life just because you happened to be there. I always talk about the widow of Zarephath. Elijah was not looking for any desperate widow. He had an address. Are you getting my point? There were many widows. That's what Jesus himself said. And to none of them was Elijah sent. That is, Elijah was sent to that particular widow. There were many young men who were shepherds in Israel. And to none of them was Samuel sent, apart from to David. Please, do you get the point I'm making? Please, I want us to understand that thing. Life has seasons. And the most important thing believers are supposed to do, children of God, is to observe the duties of each season and perform it fully. The problem is that the world always tries to give us a name. This guy is not sharp. This girl is not fast. This person is not smart. Are you getting my point? And therefore make you look like an idiot. Next lesson I should bring for today. Except you are willing to be a fool, you will never make it working with God. Let me say that again. many times my wife and I will discuss. And I will explain some principles about ministry. Let me tell you as an example now. Those of you who know me very well, know one thing God taught me long ago, but you're a witness I've never practiced. I have never put pressure on anybody concerning money. And people can say what they like. I thank God for Kingdom World Ministries. We're always growing. From the time in which our total expenditure was nothing but the rent we paid here, to now that we pay literally hundreds of thousands of naira a month to be on air and all of that like expenditure. As God is my witness, we are not owing anybody. God always supplies. Now, guess what I'm saying? He has never disappointed. But those of you who have known me long enough know one thing. I have refused, okay, to get involved in harassing people for money and begging for money. And people misinterpret it. You know, people always misinterpret what you are doing. You know the way they interpret it? Maybe pastor has a lot of money. He's just funding everything. It's not true. It's not true. God moves people and people give money to Kingdom World Ministries. That's the way our money comes. All right? Now, so sometimes I'll be sharing with my wife. She now said that, why can't every pastor learn this thing? And I told her simply, do you know why? This is where I'm going with the story. I said, except you are ready to fail and not care, you can't learn the lesson. That's why Jesus came and said, if you love your life, that's when you will lose it. Those who will keep their lives are the ones that will hate their lives and they will be ready to lose it for my sake. Are you getting my point? Except you are willing to say, okay, so after that ministry didn't work, forget it now. Your mates are on radio, Well, I tried to go on radio. After 2 months, we started owing, so I shut it down. Do you get my point? Except you are willing to take that shame, you will never go far with God. That's what I'm trying to explain. You know, Paul said something, that a lot of us think that godliness is a means of gain. That's why, hear it and quote me, I disagree with this gospel that we preach these days, that will make it look to people like once you just do this, and do that, and do that, something big will begin to happen. You know me, and you've heard me say it, great things are prepared for every child of God, I believe that. But I have never, ever been able to accept the fact that I will go to God and say, God, you know I did this one for you. I heard a man preaching recently. I was so angry. My wife said, I told you not to get angry. I said, why won't I get angry? I said, anyway, I won't get angry. These are the things that make people angry. So when troubles come, I go and tell God, God, remember I gave money to this building. God, remember I gave money to this pastor. I say, look at this foolishness that we are demonstrating. I'll call ourselves ministers. It is wrong. Please, I'm begging those of you listening to me, don't ever do it. That's what people call godliness as a means of great gain. As a means of gain. I've done this, God will bless me. No. I do things because I am supposed to do them. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That's what he calls godliness with contentment. That is, I do godliness, and once I've done it, I'm content with the fact that I have done it. A friend of mine called me yesterday, also a friend of Kingdom World Ministries, and just went along this line. He said one of the reasons he loved Sam Adeyemi's church was the kind of testimonies he would hear there. He said one day he was in church and Pastor Sam Adeyemi's wife came up to give a testimony. Praise the Lord. You know, for years people say they give money to the work of God and everything. I've always wanted to give 100,000 naira and have never been able to do it. So I prayed. And then last week somebody came up to me and gave me some money. And it was 100,000 naira. And I said, God, thank you. Finally, I too can give 100,000 naira to the preaching of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And she dropped the microphone and went to sit down. You know the jokers that the rest of us are? That's not a testimony. We are so greedy and selfish. That's not a testimony. What you want to hear is, as soon as I gave that 100,000, 1 million began to rain. Amen. Who wants to get another 1 million? Where's your own 100,000 naira? It's crookedness. Oh my God. It's criminality we are practicing. There's what the Bible calls godliness with contentment. That woman came up, gave her testimony. Are you getting my point? And stepped down. That is, yes, having done the will of God, I can stand. Do you get my point? There is no 15 methods for suddenly leaving the position where you are right now. What you need is the method of what? Waiting. I emphasized something at the beginning. Your life is not average. You're not an accident. The natural unbelieving person thinks that heaven helps those who help themselves. You know that kind of thing. Nothing moves until you move it. All those quotes we have introduced to Christianity, we don't know where they began from. We don't know whether it's based on scriptures. And you can apply things any way you like. All right? If you stay here, nothing will happen. That's not really Christianity. True Christianity is that a day of change is appointed. Are you getting my point? And until that day, an assignment has been committed into your hands. And this is how you will make the day of change come. You will fulfill the assignment for that day. That's for the season that you are in. So I read the scripture, Psalm 131, and I wanted to hear it again. Oh Lord, my heart is not proud, and my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. That thing is powerful. If you can write it on your wall, write it, wake up in the morning and look at it. He did not say, I don't desire great things. Did he say that? He never said so. What he said is, O Israel, hope in the Lord. That is anything you are desiring, make sure you just ask the Lord for it. I don't have all this time to read all the scriptures. If you read the earlier parts of 130, you will see that he talked about the eyes of the Lord being attentive to the voice of my supplications. What does it mean not to get involved in matters too difficult for him? David was the one writing, so let's give it to David's story, all right, to explain this. They anointed him king in Israel. Are you getting my point? And the man looked and said, hey, I have not yet joined PDP. I don't have the money to join PDP. So now that I have been appointed king, what will I do? I will go back to the classroom where I used to work. You know what kills a lot of people who have the promise of God over their heads? Let me call it, I want to invent a word. I call it the early Moses phenomenon. I just invented that expression now. Moses, as a young man, hears that, yes, you are going to liberate these people. He said, fine, give me a sword. Any Egyptian you see, behead him. God said, let me teach you a principle. I will send you into trouble. The man entered into trouble. Then they took him and sent him into exile. He said, fine, what are you going to do here? Nothing, fine. So to him, the promise of God has come to an end. God said, now you would understand what it means for you to go with the hand of God. All right? When he had gotten tired of going, God now came with a word and said, time to move. And once he gets there, they say, what are we supposed to do? He said, just tell the people, just say to Pharaoh, let my people go. That's a very foolish thing to, no, do you get my point? It's a very foolish thing to say to the most powerful man on the earth. No, get the point? This is the most powerful man on the earth. That's a foolish thing to tell him. He said, who's your God that I should let the people? You know, very reasonable question. I need a master over my head to give me instructions. You've just showed up suddenly and said, I should let your people go. Okay, go and tell him, I'm not letting him go. Do your worst. So Moses went back and said, Abba God, I told you, no go green. Even you, he said, you talk to him before. So what's the next thing? God said, don't worry. Then the next thing you do is this. This is the point I'm making. You notice something? Each time, he did not do things that were too wonderful for him. That's what I mean. To talk is not hard. Are you getting my point? That's why I tell people, learn to write dreams and ideas down. Nobody is going to charge you for it. Paper is cheap. A full plain sheet of paper is 1 naira equivalent. All right? Less than 1 naira. Just buy and write anything. That one is not too wonderful for you. What is too wonderful that you that have never seen 10,000 naira put together, you walk over to the manager of a bank by faith, praise the Lord. The Lord says you should give me 2.5 million naira loan. You're a goat. You are going to get into trouble that way. You can't identify 10,000 naira put together. And you say, by faith, you want to collect 2.5 million. Oh boy, let me tell you what they use such faith for. You use it to plan what they do with 2.5 million in your house. Draw the project. Do PowerPoint presentation to yourself. Do all those things. It is of God. Are you getting my point? David said, if it's too wonderful, I don't get involved in it. Yes, I have been appointed king. So what am I going to do? Nothing. So the man went back to where? The sheepfold and continued shepherding it. Do you get my point? Then God set events in motion to take him to the place that he was supposed to be. One day, his father called him and said, you come. The guy showed up. take this and go and meet your brothers. And then when he got there, he said, Goliath. Now, I want you to understand, because you see, these are the things that cause contradiction. Some people say that, but you said, don't get yourself involved in things too wonderful for you. He got there, he saw Goliath. Listen to this clearly. Goliath was not too wonderful for David. The moment he sighted Goliath, he knew this guy can be handled. I don't know whether I get what I'm going to explain. Listen, if something appears to you like a step of faith, a bold step, don't take it. You can't take it. I don't know what I heard him say. I pray you understand that, because sometimes we have fooled ourselves in what we call faith. If it appears to you like, can it be done? Well, yeah, let's try. Just forget it. You can't do it. I've said it before. The foolishness of faith is to those who are watching from outside. The man doing it doesn't think he's foolish. It's reasonable to him. Notice my word, to him. To him. To the person doing it, it is reasonable. To everybody, you see, let me tell you the truth. The thing about faith is this. You'll be trying to explain to the people, no, it's possible, it can be done. You know, you are trying to explain. Once people are the ones trying to explain to you that it can be done, you don't have the faith. Do you understand? Look at David's situation. What happened? The man said, what's going to happen? They said, no, you can't do it. He said, I have done it before now. You guys don't get the point. He was trying to explain to them. Okay, when did you do it? All right, not a real Goliath. He said, look at you. He said, wait now. Is it more dangerous than a bear? They said, what do you mean? Okay, all right. About 6 weeks ago, yes, precisely 6 weeks today. Look at this scratch here. It was a bear that gave it to me. What happened? Okay, let me tell you. He came. He looked for trouble. No, be me, they find wahala. Came after my sheep, and I saw the thing galloping away. So I went after it, clobbered it, and collected my sheep. They turned on me. Then I used the strength and the wisdom that God gave me, and I overcame. What's the difference between that guy and this one? Please, I pray that your heart will receive what I'm saying. To him, it made sense. I'm tired of Christians doing foolish things that are foolish to them. And they say, I did it in faith. Say, what were you trying to achieve? One day I was somewhere and the so-and-so person preached and said that he did like this. So I said, why not? If his God can do it, my God can do it. God has never been in doubt concerning his ability. You know, I keep on saying that. A young man came to me once. I told him, go to class and go and read and go and do this. He said, sir, let me ask you a question. He wanted to catch me. You know, say, I get sense faster. He said, are you saying that there's something God can't do? I looked at him, you're an idiot. I said, in your situation, that's a stupid question. Why did you come to school? Are you saying, now I'm adding to it now, I can't remember all the things he and I discussed. Why did you come to school? Are you saying God cannot bring certificate to your father's house? You see what happened now? Why are you here? Why didn't you just say, my God, you made the heavens and the earth. What is the big deal about making one or two doctors? Bring my MBBS certificate to my house and the knowledge in my head. Why did you, moron, right jump? You're not telling me there's nothing that God can do. Now, I'm not explaining something here. I'm tired of Christians just doing things like that. Not understanding that there are certain principles in life. David said, if something is too wonderful, all right, I don't involve myself in it. What it means is this. If it's not within my capacity to understand how I will do it, I leave it alone. It does not mean I don't believe God. It just means that God has not given me the understanding on how to take this next step. You know what that means? That simply means I stay where I am now until he comes. Listen, there is a day in which God will come. And that's actually what I wanted to say today. I mentioned on Saturday. Life, I have observed it. I said it to my wife last week. I said, this one, I don't know whether I'm talking out of inspiration or just by observation. That your life will take a number of giant leaps. And those points of leap you have, there's nothing you can do about them. They either come or they don't come. And the harder you try to make them come, the less they are likely to show. Let me explain what I mean. Don't forget the scripture. If something is too wonderful for me, I don't try it. Many men have gone into trouble, especially financially. They have borrowed money because, you know, Let me not even go into that. Let me not digress. They have borrowed money for things that, things that are much bigger than their abilities to imagine and to control. Now they are owing, and owing everybody. They were sleeping well before in poverty. Now, they went into temporary riches, and are back in poverty. Now there's no sleep. When the phone rings, you start rebuking MTN. It's not, because you know somebody is calling you. You know the annoying part about it. Sometimes those calls, they're not asking for money. Somebody just say, how are you doing? So you look and say, you don't know the number. Maybe, could it be this person? You're afraid to answer. Why? Because your eyes were haughty and your heart proud. And you involved yourself in matters too difficult for you. You know, just by the way, there was one bank, I won't mention their name, all right? They started what they call something divine account. Okay, let me tell you what the name of the account. You can go and find out the bank. They call it iDivine account. Churches can open their accounts and then they can take loans. I said, yeah, congregation in trouble. I said, some pastors will open this account, run it, and take loans. And bank not care, say, na church work, what they can do. Now you talk, say, na the work of God. Interest rates are the same. Whether you want to take and sacrifice to the devil or build the kingdom of God, they don't care. Their interest rate is huge. I said there are pastors who will use this to build building, use it to do evangelism, and then the bank will say, where are our money? And they will now descend on the congregation. I that day when I saw it, I said, yeah, trouble. I showed my wife, look at this. This bank wants to cause trouble in Christianity. You want to give loan? I wanted to call the MDC, oh God, please don't put us in trouble in the body of Christ in Nigeria. Do you know why? A lot of people will stretch hands into things too difficult for them. Hey, I was feeling bad. I hope they have stopped there. I don't see the advert anymore. Day to day we learn. Because like Yoruba man said, money will not be there. Enforcer, not a collector. You know what they call enforcer? Go and try what they call a mafia enforcer. If you are owing mafia don't money, he will send an enforcer after you. Yoruba man has a saying that if you don't have the money, there's nothing the enforcer can do. If you like me, he beat you. If you like me, he shoot you. You are not going to melt and turn into money. I'm sure they have learned it also. After a while, a few congregations have closed down with their money. His board of trustees, what are you going to do? The pastor has disappeared. He went on evangelism to America. What are you going to do? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. This is what I'm making. He's talking about things too wonderful, things too difficult for him to do. David said, no, I don't get involved in it. I was telling you that life has what? I believe that your life will experience about 3, maybe on the average, points of leap. And those points are not dependent upon you. I always like to tell a few stories. Some of them I've told before to emphasize the point. 2 I will tell, which we all know very well. In fact, 3. In fact, 4. Some of them very spiritual, some very secular. Let us start with Ron Kenoly, who we all know. Ron Kenoly gave his life to Christ, said, I'm a Christian musician, I want to sing Christian music. He sent his demo tapes to all the Christian recording companies he knew. And you know what happened? All of them returned and said, we don't need new artists at this time. So finally one day, I heard this from his own mouth when he came to Lagos. I was in that meeting. Finally one day, he said, God, since nobody wants to hear me, you will hear me by force. So we entered church. He says, God is everywhere. He can't run from your music. So he closed the door of the church. He was what we call a music pastor, what the Americans call a music pastor in a church, all right? Choir director, stuff like that. So he entered the church, locked it, and began to play all the songs in his soul. He prayed and played and prayed and played and worshipped, and then finally fell on the floor and cried. When he had exhausted himself, he got up, washed his face, and said, God, bye-bye, I am singing again. That is all this one of trying to look for a producer or marketer. He now settled in his church as the music pastor and kept on playing. Are you getting my point? And then one day, Don Moen came to church and heard him lead praise worship. At the end of the day, he walked over to him. I keep on confusing whether it's Don Moen or Michael Coleman. He walked up to him and gave him a card. He said, I'm an executive director with Hosanna Music. I would like you to pray about recording an album with us. Are you getting my point? He didn't know who on earth was Domoe. Are you getting my point? The man just came up and said, I was so blessed by your ministration today. Please, this is my card. I'd like you to pray about recording an album with us. And Domoe said, Ron Kennelly said, that was one thing I never had to pray about. They recorded Jesus is Alive. That was their first album. Then they recorded Lift Him Up. I know you still have Lift Him Up till today. By the time I was telling the story, Lift Him Up was the best selling album, praise and worship album ever produced on the earth. Let me just say something to you. He was not 25 years old that time. Neither was he 35. I don't know how old he was not a small boy. So don't let's get carried away with just wake up one morning because you want to show that your God is able. I kept on telling you, your God being able is not in contention. Are you getting my point? You don't have the duty to prove it to anybody. If Baal is God, that was what Gideon's father said, let him fight for himself. God, if you are able, prove it to them. It's not my job. I've told you, this is how you testify for God. Whatever he has done for you, tell the story. That's all. If he hasn't done it, leave it for those who he has done it for to go and tell the story. You are not God's defender. He's your defender. Are you getting my point? You are not his defender. He didn't give you an assignment. He said, "Let me, God, I'm going to prove to them you are able. Let me walk on this water while they are watching." You will sink, oh bros. You will sink. Believe me. It's called tempting the Lord thy God. It's not because God can't make people float on water. Just I said, why should I do it? So impress somebody who's planning to go to hell, whether I do it or I don't do it. Please, I hope you're getting my point. That's why I like to tell that story. Of course, after that, the man Ron Kennelly has only gone. Interestingly enough, by the time I saw him in Lagos, he was still music pastor in the same church. Do you know he still held that job? He said he came late because he had to discuss with his pastor because he had to try. He was still music pastor in the same church. It was interesting. By that time, all over the world, invitations from everywhere. Of course, that was Lagos, Nigeria. Do I need to tell you the invitations he was getting in America? Music selling left, right, and center. Then, of course, he has done many albums since. All kinds of albums. And it's just growing and growing. I've not heard from him about him in a while, but you understand the whole story. What did he do to bring that day? Nothing, really, nothing. Next story, T.D. Jakes, who has caused a lot of confusion in quotes now in the lives of young people who just want to be like T.D. Jakes. They don't read the story properly. Bros was not 25 when he became what he is right now. And God is not in a hurry. Do you get my point? God is what? Not in a hurry. I give all this one of. One of our friends was around just now. Named the name of their church. He said, our church is not a church of declaration. And she gave an example. He said, they will say, for God so loved the world that he gave, God will love you in Jesus' name. People will shout amen. He said, that's what they do. You know, that's what we do these days. This year is a year of breakthrough. Amen. This year is a year of this, a year of that. I'm not saying it is not. All right? But this is the interesting part. There are people that year is a year of punishment. It's not a bad thing. You need to be disciplined. It's called the discipline of the Lord. It's still the year of growth. I mean, it's growth. It's growth. So, please, what I'm going to say is that let's not harass God with it. We set our desires. I'm not saying we shouldn't have desires. But this harassment of God is not what he's saying. What he's saying, recognize that I have a plan for your life. Take each season as they come. Do you get my point? Recognize what you are supposed to do in each season. I said, don't ever forget your primary assignment as a child of God is the purification of your heart, the purification of your spirit. He said, we have come to the assembly of the spirits of just men made perfect. T.D. Jakes was a pastor for a long time too. I don't know how many dysfunctional American women he counseled before he decided to organize a program called Woman Thou Art Loosed. And the reason was that he said he discovered that what he would say to Sally is what he would say to Mary, is what he would say to Jane, is what he would say to everybody. So he said, why do I have to be counseling them one after the other? So gather everybody. He did Woman Thou Art Loosed 4 days. And initially I thought it would just be a few women. They told everybody gathered. When he finished, he told one of his friends, see what's going on here? His friend said, okay, come and do it on our side. He went there, did 4 days again. Now he now had 8 tips of woman that would lose. Some people heard him saying, preaching woman that would lose. They approached him and said, let's publish. For them to publish now, they had to, the now said he should bring money. The man got angry. Why should I bring money? He said, and the Holy Spirit said to him, invest in yourself. Then all the money he had, by $11,000, he gave them that they might print 5,000 copies of Woman Thou Art Loosed. Do you understand that? And they sold the 5,000 copies in 2 weeks. Now, T.D. Jakes sells books before he even writes them. Yeah. Now, because he was writing so much, he was well known, one secular publishing house, not Christian publishing house, I've forgotten the name now, approached him and said, right, let us publish. That was not the issue. He said, they arranged a meeting. He said, one day he drove up to their office in a limo. He wore a very nice suit and an ugly tie. That's all he said. I don't know what else in the limo, but in a nice car. Then he rode up the elevator and he sat down. They began to negotiate. And he told them, yes, I will write you guys to publish. But listen, these are my rules. Number one, nobody edits what I say. I talk about Jesus as much as I damn well want to talk about him. They said, noted. He gave them all the conditions. They agreed to every single one of them. Told them how much they are going to pay, how the royalties will be. He signed. And like when he was in the story, he said, periodically they send him a check. And he said, believe me, the checks are good. He said, people say, they are not a Christian publishing now. He said, but they put my books where no Christian books are found. Now, do you get my point? One day, somebody was, I think it was Pastor Paul Adefan that was telling the story. One day he went to the U.S., he went to see Bishop T.D. Jakes, and they just delivered a jet to him. So they said, okay, come on, Paul, let's go and test it. And they rode to Jamaica just to see how the engine is rolling. They flew to Jamaica, just flew around. Some small boys, that's their prayer point. Today, Lord, my own private jet. Go and check the age of the bros that's flying private jet. How many years did he preach messages? This man pastored literally for decades. I don't know exactly how, but not less than 10, 15 years before this whole thing began. How did he become internationally known? I jumped a few steps, I told you. It was all simple. His friend Carlton Pearson organized a program, and he preached for Carlton Pearson. Are you getting my point? And then, Carlton Pearson had a 30-minute program on TV, and they had 4 preachers in that Azusa. He calls the program Azusa. And then, T.D. Jakes was one of the 4, so he put each preacher up for 7 minutes. In 7 minutes that T.D. Jakes was on, while the program was airing, Paul Crouch walked in. He had questions on his mind, and he put on the TV. He happened to be putting on the TV in that short 7 minutes that T.D. Jakes, of the 24 hours in a day. Are you getting my point? He happened to pick the 30 minutes that Carlton Pearson's program was on TV. And the 30 minutes, he happened to pick the 7 minutes that T.D. Jakes was on TV. And in that 7 minutes, he happened to stumble on where T.D. Jakes was talking about Jesus showing up and showing his wounds to his disciples. And he said, show them your wounds. And that suddenly answered the questions of Paul Crouch. Paul Crouch picked the phone, called Carlton Pearson, said, who is that fat man? That was how he entered the TBM family. Suddenly everybody seeing him all over the world. Believe me, he did not beg anybody for it. The problem is that believers don't know how to wait. Go and listen to my message, How to Wait for God. Alright? I'm not going to preach that message again. The point in that message is that God has an assignment for each day. He does. Each day there is one thing that he wants you to do. Get busy doing it and let nobody call you. Look, you know, I said I would tell the way I live my life. Again, if you've heard me long enough, you know the way I do it. I know they worry about anything. Your friends have done this, doesn't concern me. I still remember very well. I graduated from school in 1991. I married in 1999. That's 8 years after. So I was married. I didn't have a car. Somebody said that you try and buy a car. You know, this one that you're going to visit your in-laws. And I didn't have to tell him that this is a very funny advice. I have already visited them severally. The young woman who I married knows I don't have one. They know. They know what I do. As God is my witness, I don't know how to pretend. And this is the interesting part. I even have testimonies. Alright, of women testifying behind my back that one thing about Banky is that he's absolutely sincere.
I don't know how to pretend. I won't tell you stories to make you think of me more highly than I think I know of myself. And then I tell you, believe me, I believe it. There's one joker in this town that went and married and was lying to even the girl he's married. On the wedding day, not the day before. The clown was a medical student. And the girl thought he was a medical doctor. In this Enugu here. No wonder shall never end. And he made them introduce people like himself, his classmates. Those some people were embarrassed. They say, let us welcome to the platform, a consultant nephrologist. They will mention one of his classmates. What I'm telling you is not a joke. And the girl thought she was getting married. That girl must have sinned. Because I can't understand why God allowed you to be fooled by that kind of person. And I keep asking, what on earth are you going to gain? Is it not marriage you called it? So she won't find out? Okay, by the time the girl, oh God, the girl, her mission in life, she used to go around with a folder of all his sins and iniquities. And if she sees you and you know him, she will sit you down and kill him in your presence. I don't know why people lie that kind of rubbish lie. I always say that one of the greatest things you can do for yourself is to tell yourself the truth. Don't let the world, you know, the problem with people is the world. You know, I remember one bro I met one day. I was preaching. He thought I was preaching about him. As God is my witness, I wasn't preaching about him. I was just preaching. You know why? You know, a man would come and say, oh, how are you doing? Oh, bro, how are you doing? I'm fine. Where are you coming from? He said, you know, this work is, the pressure is too much. You know, this Charles Ludo campaign. And Charles is always calling me about the campaign. Do you know that kind of thing? He hasn't told you anything, no. No, Charles Ludo is campaigning. And they are doing the election on Saturday, are we? And you think, where are you coming from? He said, I'm just coming from Oka. What are you doing, Oka? He said, this Charles Ludo campaign is so hectic. And Charles is always calling. He'll call him by a first. So you think they are friends. And you look at the guy with his shoe that needs to organize that. You'll be looking at him. Look at him. Who are you trying to impress? You know, you could just look the guy. And he'll be talking. He'll say, my God. And the strategy we have right now for capturing Anambra State, we, the inner caucus of PDP. You'll be looking at him. By the time he finishes telling the story, in my mind, at the end of the day, you know, even those of us who have blessed you, you know what I'm saying? We are not afraid of you, that you are too big. Except that people like me, I know shallow, empty drums, empty barrels like that. I know them. Once I see them, they are palpable. They are the type that, and they say, who will give 1 million naira? They go and stand in front. At the end of the day, borrow 1,000 naira to go home from you. Churches, they do well. Who my wife knows one guy, they come out of church. Who will give 1 million naira? He will go forward. So this project is of the Lord. Who will give 1 million naira? He's in front. If you say 10, he will start for 10 million. The guy will not get work, has no income, wasn't doing any business, nothing. After service, he say, guys, nah, but today this week just dry. Anything for the boys there. And the guy, I just said, this is a mental kiss. Let's forget it. This is a mental kiss. And this is what I'm making, all right? These people, what did they do to bring those times to be? Nothing. Nothing. If we let the world send us into an unnecessary and unholy, all right, chase of things that we can't handle. You are starting a small business. The business is just managing to grow. All your friends are now buying brand new cars. So you think you're under obligation. Of course, there will be one bank that will give it to you. Then all your profit plus your capital, you are paying it to Dana Motors or Sony, what do you call this, would market Nissan. Is that? Sun Motors. Uh-huh. You are paying them your money. Elizabeth has collected all your money because you collected the Toyota that you can't afford. Do you get my point? You know one thing about me, if I just now downstairs, 1745 BMW passed. I paused and I looked at it. I like good things. I never pretend. But if you say, Pastor, there's one for sale, I say, don't tell me the price, I'm not interested. Before you finish, it will fit you. You won't dash me. If you don't want dash me, forget the gist. 745. It's a very good car. I happen to know they sell it for 14 million naira or so. If you hear that I bought the car for 14 million, won't you stop attending my meetings? No, it's not a bad thing. But what am I saying? There are seasons. And listen, there's something about seasons. If you are not there, you are not there. I like the way Miles Monroe said it. If it is winter and you want to pretend like it is summer, you will freeze. See, I'm above the situations of life. It is winter. I don't care. I'm a child of God. Therefore, you come out naked. Don't worry. Your heart will suddenly stop beating. Why? Because you don't recognize the seasons of your life. No, that thing is so crucial. That's what the devil... Look, I'm a preacher. It's one problem with preachers. You want to do everything your friends are doing. Everything your mates are doing. You won't last... Forget preachers. You won't last long in anything that you are doing, behaving like that. I always say... They say, your mates are saying, wait, I don't have mates. I don't know any preacher, all right, that's preaching like me, that's so focused on writing and publishing messages. That's that one I excel above everybody I know in that area. Now, I'm telling you, for the number of years we have preached, the amount of materials we have archived and books that are out, and there's no book I have currently that's transcribed. Listen to me, brethren, I handwrite every one of them. I've been planning for some time to put our radio messages transcribed into books. I will still do it, but as today, 13 books we have out, 4 pamphlets, 2-3 small books, and the rest are sizable books. Grace to Prosper has about 300 pages. That one. You can say, your mate built a house. He didn't write Grace to Prosper. I did. Your mate has 16 million naira in the bank account. He didn't write How to Work for God. I did. What am I saying? I'm not getting mate. Nobody is pushing me under pressure for anything. My tomorrow is secure, is in God's hands. Are you getting my point? I was saying, your life will experience leaps at crucial points, and those points you cannot do anything about them. You can't. Don't forget how I started. I was emphasizing that we must never forget, as believers, your life is what? Not average. It's outstanding. It's planned by God. God individually has books with each person's name written on each one. That is, each individual has a book before God. Listen again. The days of your life were written in those books. Are you getting my point? There's one scripture I just want to read quickly. The book of Isaiah. God said, if I put you in a particular place, all right, and you decide to force yourself to get out of the place, he said, this you will have of the hand of the Lord, you will lie down in torment. That's what happens. That's the only word ends when the season is not yet ready and we are pushing for it. I have another scripture to explain that. The book of Mark chapter 4. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. He said, it grows and all of that. I don't want to give the details now. But he said, when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. He said, this growth is in stages. He said, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the crop is fully mature, it puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. How do you know when the harvest has come? I like to tell a story all the time. As a young person, you have tried to harvest mangoes. You've tried to harvest fruits. You know the way it is. When it's not ripe, you beat it with a stick. It still doesn't come down. You will do everything. Stone it. Sometimes it will shatter to pieces while you are watching it. It will not come down. But when it is ripe, a little shaking and the thing falls down into your hand. When you have to struggle so hard to get something done, it's likely the season has not yet come. Are you getting my point? I was talking to a friend of mine a few days ago. I said, I've made up my mind, though, and I'm sharing it with you so that you will understand, to enjoy every day of my life. Are you getting my point? Let me use material possessions as an example. Life has stages, I keep on saying. I want to give myself an example. There was a stage where all I could buy was nice clothes and look nice. Are you getting my point? And I made sure I looked nice. That's the summary of it. They said, how come you don't have a car? I don't have, but I have good shoes. Do you get my point? I could buy very nice shoes, strong ones, so I bought them.
Then the stage came in which I could buy a car, so I started buying one car after another. This one ages, I will change it. He said, why don't you build a house? I said, they're expensive. And God has done me in such a manner that I know the size of house. If I have to build and call my own, that it must not be smaller than. For those of you who know the house I live in right now, that is that size. It can't be smaller than that. You know why? Because I have not sinned. I have not committed any iniquity. I'm walking the will of God. What punishment will God say is punishing me when he will remove me from a big house into a small house just because he says it's my own? You don't get it? What I'm saying is that by the time I'm building a house, it will be bigger than the one I'm living in right now that I rented. That's what I'm trying to explain. So he said, what stage are you in? I said, I paid nice rent. I live in a nice house. It's stage. No, it's true. I said, the stage will come in which you will look and say, I like that house. How much is it? Say, 100 million. All right. Give the guy a draft tomorrow if he will accept it. A stage will come. But I never read that stage. So right now, all I do is that if my car age, I buy another one. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm not explaining. It's stages. He said, I'll just be building it small. I said, I refuse. In Jesus' name, I refuse it. It's not an investment. It's a liability. No, believe me. Go and read Robert Kiyosaki. It is. My wife does business. The money I will have been using to put down small. If I give her small, by the time she finishes the money after some years, it will be big enough to just buy that at a go. This is the point I'm making. I'm not competing with everybody. So everybody's not giving me advice of, you can start, you go and buy a trip of sand here, and then you lay the blocks. You start seeing small. I say it's not an achievement. As God, I've never considered building a house, as God is my witness, an achievement. It's not an achievement. You know what it is? It's like I bought a shirt. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. If I buy a new suit, should I come and tell you, brethren, look at my suit. What do you think? It's a new one. Let's just thank the Lord for it. Let's join hands and let's dedicate this shirt. Amen. Praise the Lord. No. That is the way, like in my office, when they say that, you see, you buy a new car, you know, go wash them. So that I won't look like a stingy man. That's why I do all this washing thing. Because I tell you, it's not an achievement, really. Why do you guys think it's an achievement? It's not. It's one of those things. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, that's the way I look at it. You know what I think is an achievement? Oh, my God. When I write another book and it comes out, the kind of smile. Sometimes I will sit down at home, I will be looking and say, like that I told my wife, I said, my wife, this book is beautiful. This book is anointed. Did you read this line? You know, I trip over it. Yeah, because that's purpose for living. Do you get my point? I mean, if you built 15 houses in Haiti, you know what happened to them a few weeks ago? They asked the president of the country, what are you doing at the airport? He said, we are busy. But even if I wanted to go and sleep, there's no house. The Aso Rock collapsed. The earthquake collapsed the Aso Rock of the building of this of that nation. All flesh is what? Grass. I can always say, why don't you build a house? I said, do I even know where I will live tomorrow? A few months before I came to Enugu, I did not know I was coming to Enugu. Listen, one day will come. Maybe I'm not threatening you. I just show up. Praise the Lord. It's been nice staying in Enugu. These meetings will be discontinued at the end of December this year. Say, Pastor, what is going on? Guys, I am moving. To where? To Luanda, I've been at Lusaka. or Abuja. Say, well, it's a season. That the Lord said, all right, what you have done in Enugu is enough. We want to move to another level. Just by the way I run ministry sometimes, people wonder, why don't you do like this? Why don't you do like this? Are you able to do this? When the strategist is getting too much for publicity, for outreach and all of that, I say, wait, it never reach. Don't worry, it never reached. That the time will come, all right? That, you know, what's his name? Billy Graham. There's a particular man, I quoted his name wrongly when I talked about it before, because that's the man who holds that kind of position today, but this was a big newspaper magnate of those days. Somebody called him, said, go and listen to this young preacher. So after they harassed the big man enough, he now went and listened to this young preacher. And he called his editors and said, Pump Graham. Those were the two words. They are very famous words in people who study those things. What did I say? Pump Graham. This man was a control, maybe like 90% of the media in America at that time. So he said to that newspaper now, print medium, he said, Pump Graham. So you know what happened? Everywhere Billy Graham went, his reporters followed. When the man sneezes, they write an article on the sneeze of Billy Graham. How holy and anointed it is. No, I'm just adding pepper and granite. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. But they covered it everywhere. Write his articles in the papers. And these papers were spreading internationally. So much that it became news when you did not know Graham. Billy Graham's associate was in a plane one day. And he was talking with one elderly woman. And the elderly woman was just chatting with the young man. He happened to be a Christian. And they were just talking along the line. I said, okay, what do you do? He said, I'm a preacher. I work. He said, you know Billy Graham? Like I'm an associate of Billy Graham. The woman said, no. Ah, the guy was alarmed. You don't know Billy Graham? He said, he's on TV all the time. He said, oh, maybe he's off when I'm in and he's on when I'm out. I mean, that's just the way the old black woman told the guy. The guy was so surprised, he got back home and told Billy Graham, hear this, today I met somebody in America who doesn't know you. It was news. Everybody knew Graham. What did he do to become known? Nothing. He just kept on preaching. Are you getting my point? That's why I have personally, this is my own, identified what I'm supposed to do this season. When you say I'm always coming back here, Tuesdays, Saturdays, I'm sweating, I'm preaching, we join to make CDs, I say, is it work for the season? Enjoy it while it lasts. Amen? Yeah, one day, the day shall come, and say, where's Pastor Mark? He's not around. What happened? He has traveled somewhere. They are doing a seminar all over the place. Yeah, because that's the kind of work I'm going to be doing. Are you getting my point? Yes, the time will come where there's no time. In any corner of this earth, you want to listen to this man teach, you won't be able to listen. I mean 24 hours. Pastor Bank, what are you doing to get there? Wait, relax. Things are too wonderful for me. When things are too wonderful, I don't stretch. No. Some of these we preach. I told their sect. It depends on the sphere of life. Go for it. Try hard. Do this. Don't rest. Don't sleep. Wake up. They asked Paul Getty, how do you make money? He said, wake up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. I said, that's the will that is not of God. Do you get my point? The Bible says it is vain to wake up early. It is vain to sleep late. Because striking oil can be done even while you are sleeping. That's what the scripture says. It can be done while you are sleeping. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. What have I said today? Let me try and summarize it. The first scripture we read was Psalm 126. He said, those who sow, okay, what I want to emphasize, they said, when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, that's the best one I need. We were like those who dream. The day will come, that's why I talk about the giant leaps of life. I said from the beginning, don't forget, your life is not average. And I was emphasizing the fact that God has every day of your life written. Samuel, when he filled his horn with oil, that oil wasn't going to pour until he meet David. So when we are saying great things will happen to you, it's not as if you will just stumble on it. No. Blessings, I always like to say, they are what? Commanded. Blessings are commanded. They have a name. You can't pour my blessing upon somebody else just because I went out when you came. So somebody said I wasn't around, that's why I couldn't get that thing. I always say, I am not the only one that God wants to bless. Why I was not around was so that I wouldn't stretch forth my hand into that which was not mine. So God moved me out of the way so that somebody else might get it. I have seen good things that people skimmed for. Skimmed. I did not even know the skimming was going on. That they might get it. The day it was going to be delivered, it was delivered dead into my laps. And they said, Dr. Leshina, this will be good for you. I said, that's very nice. And we, all right, I got involved in the whole thing. It really helped me a lot. Then I heard people grumbling behind her. How did they get it? That didn't follow the proper procedure. We should have done this particular procedure. Later I found out this was skimming. That men were skimming and I was not aware. The day of delivery, God just moved it into a particular channel. And the man who they put it in his hand said, okay, say, find somebody of this profession. He said, oh, I have a friend. And he called me. Where are you? I said, I'm on my way back to town. When you come back, see me. We have to discuss. And I did not even know scheming was going on. A friend of mine called me, was discussing how he got his first job. That he was in church. And the pastor just said, somebody, tomorrow, about this time, something like that, somebody, they are going to send for you. And they said then, he did not know, they were not GSM and all of that, or he didn't have. So, but he had an email address. So he had a friend of his who he kept on giving that guy's number as his contact number. So when they called the guy was supposed to send him a mail. So he used to check his mail every day. And that was it. That day he checked his mail. And this was on Sunday. On Monday was when he checked his mail. And he saw in the mail that he had an interview that morning. No, I don't know what I get what I'm saying. He was in church on Sunday. And a word of the preacher was just preaching. And he said to me, he said, Pastor Banky, you know when something hits you, like it's only you that's been spoken to. I said, I understand. He said, that was how the word came to him that day. And he knew this man was talking about him. So next day, he went to check his mail. And he saw that he had an interview that morning. Do you get my point? That morning. So he looked, what is he going to do? So he ran to a nearby bank where one of his friends worked and said, I have an interview. That guy removed his clothes and gave him to wear. From there, he ran to the place of the interview. He said when he walked into, because you know the way Mike Adenuga does. All right, is it Mike Adenuga? Glow. Huh? Okay. Anyway, you know the way he does interviews all his people. He said, so as soon as he walked in, and he saw the man, he saw his name, and saw the man was from Calabasas, he started speaking Efik, and two of them began to speak Efik, and after they spoke for a while, they laughed. That was the end of the interview. He got the job. There was no, what shall you do? Just, are you from here? Yes, sir. The man turned to this language. After they chatted for a while, they closed the paper, you can go. That was it. He landed the job in a borrowed suit. All this one, they tell you that you dress like this, you dress like that. It's when the glory of God is not following you. That's when you need all those rubbish. He borrowed, get my point, you walk into a bank and say, oh, boy, come, I have interview now. The guy, come out in tie, take. Come out in jacket, take. Just where, on your way. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's no scheming. God, look, I don't need to tell you more stories. I hope you have gotten my point. The problem with the law of believers, they can't wait. They can't. And what I mean, they can't wait. They get too dissatisfied with what God has given them for one day. They easily get dissatisfied. All my friends have gone to America. All my friends have gone to Australia. All my friends are their problem. One of my friend, classmates said something once. He came to Enugu here to come and apply for residency. He had been to US. He had come back. And he made a statement. He said, you guys were wise. He said, if they had told me that I could survive without going to America, I would have said it's a lie. So what God did was God took him to America, disgraced him there, and returned him home. Are you ready to start now? He said, yes, sir. He was now going from one place to another, trying to find his foot again. And that day he came to Enugu, he said, you guys were wise. He said, if I had known, he says, as if you guys knew what was going on. He said, then, if anybody had told me I could survive without going to America, I would have told the person that he was mad. I have been there, I have come back, and here don't live. Have I said anything to you today? Let's bow down our heads and pray for a while. I'm going to give you an interesting prayer point. Say, God, the grace to wait. Bestow it upon me. It's a very simple prayer, and I think we should learn to pray such simple prayers. God, the ability to wait in such a manner as to please you. I want to just say a word of thanksgiving. Say, Lord, I thank you. I know you have a great plan for my life. Say, Lord, I'm not an accident. I was not born by chance. All the days of my life were recorded in your books. My life is not an accident. The very hair on my head, they are numbered. The very hair on my head, they are numbered. I know you have a purpose for me. So until the day of my change, I will wait. The grace to wait is what I'm asking for today. So in the name of Jesus, pour it upon me. I know my life will take great leaps. The place that I'm going to, I cannot engineer it myself. Help me, Lord. Thank you for the assignment I have for today. Say, Lord, thank you for the assignment I have for today. It's very vital that you say that. Say, Lord, you have put me in a new level. Or is this same level that you have placed me in for a while? Thank you for that assignment. I'm not complaining. Help me to execute your work well in this season. Oh, Lord, thank you for the great things that are coming. I desire great things. Say, Lord, I desire great things. I want to shake the earth for you. I want my influence to be great. Say, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. You are the King of kings. That makes me a king. You are the Prince of princes. That makes me a prince. That means I'm a ruler. That means I'm a person of authority. That means I'm a person of dominion. Therefore, I desire great dominion. You said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Lord, I know I will fill the earth. I have been called to fill the earth and to subdue it. Lord, execute that judgment in my life in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to do something. Any great thing. You know, I've been saying this again and again. Let me just give you that to do. You can do it now. Do it again at home. Think of something great that you would like to do. I don't mean something small. Great must be something that's far beyond you right now. I want to build 25 universities in Nigeria and Africa. Something like that. I want to own satellite companies. Why must Nigerians go to South Africa to be beaming all their satellite stations? Something like that. We need better international airlines starting from Nigeria. Something like that. All right, we want to manufacture a Nigerian made car. Something like, you know, something great like that. There's something that God wants to use you for. Just dream something like that. You know, why must Nigerians fly to India for surgeries? Something like that. You know, something great. Now say, Lord, bestow this greatness upon me, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a very simple prayer. Now you've seen it's a great thing. You can't get there by yourself. God will send men. He said, I call a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country. The time your life is going to experience a leap is because God will send somebody from a distant country, from a great place, people you did not know. He will send them to you and cause them to help you. Concerning David, it was said that God sent men to help him. People came, these men came so as to help David. The Bible says that until they became great around him like the army of God. God will mobilize a great army around you. Believe that. He will. But say, Lord, the grace to wait until you manifest that. Pour it upon me tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you are blessed today, say amen. If you are blessed today, say amen. Make me happy now. Come try. Thank you very much. The Lord is good.